Morning, family. Those a cappella songs brought back some memories of my inner city days, and I was getting into those songs. This morning when I got here and I walked in, a lot of things was going through my mind, and as I always do, I went over to speak to Rick, and the first thing he said to me, he said, "Man, you were really sharp this morning from the waist up." And so I am casually dressed today for this lesson, so I'm sharp up here and just don't look down there, okay? Anyway, I want to tell you a story. It's not a story, it's true. And it's about my wife and I when we got married. The night before we were to be married, we had some difficulties and we had a disagreement. And my mother-in-law sitting there, she don't know this, so. And we had a disagreement, so we wasn't sure that we were going to go through with this marriage. And so the next day I get here, and I'm getting dressed, and contrary to me, and I forgot my socks, so I had to run to 100 Oaks and find socks. So I get to the church, and the wedding begins, and I'm up here, and my wife, we're on the stage, and we're saying our vows. And so I was kind of stuttering a little bit, and I jumped the gun probably three times with the word "I do." And so finally the minister said to me, he said, "I will cue you when it's time to say I do." And I said, "Okay." So mind you, I am nervous because we had the disagreement the night before. And so when it came time for Wanda to say "I do," she hesitated. And it seemed like it was 10 hours. I kid you not. It seemed like it was 10 hours before she finally said, "I do." And when she said, "I do," man, a calm went over me, and I was like, "Whew." They don't want to take her back, and they can't. So we've been married 35 years now, so something happened that for her to go on and say, "I do." So we've been having a good marriage. But I want to talk to you a little bit about today. And I got this clicker here. I hope it works for me. But I want to talk to you a little bit today about Matthew chapter 14. And you know the story. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. And then we'll get into the lesson. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciple to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Now, mind you, Jesus was kind of a little distressed because, after all, he is fully God and fully man. And he had just found out that John the Baptist had been killed or murdered or decapitated. And so he was off to pray from the get-go, but the crowd followed him. And when he landed, the crowd was already there. And so he had compassion on them. Okay? But when the ship now is in the midst of, and when he had sent the multitude away, this is where we at, and he went into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord," and Peter is kind of the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. He always put his foot in his mouth. But Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the winds ceased. In the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on water. Thinking it was a ghost, the disciples was afraid, but immediately they heard reassuring voices of the master and friend Jesus saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Of that one verse, I want to bring the message to you today about the presence of Christ. And I'm sure this lesson has been taught to you several times over in different contexts by different people, but I want to talk to you about the presence of Christ. And I think it's really important as Christians that we maintain the presence of Christ daily. Whenever we lose the presence of Christ, the distance between us and Christ gets greater and greater and greater and greater. And it becomes more difficult for us to return because of our circumstances. Circumstances normally keep us away from our religion. Okay? All we have had about the work of the blessed Holy Spirit is dependent upon what we think of Jesus, for it is from Jesus, or from Christ Jesus, that the Spirit comes to us. It is to Christ Jesus that the Spirit ever brings us. And the one need of Christian life, day by day and hour by hour, is that we need the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is our salvation. He is our salvation. Jesus has given an irreplaceable gift. He has given us the gift of his sacrifice, his life, his shed blood. He has given us redemption through that blood. He has provided salvation. He has given us communion with God. And it's very important as Christians on a daily basis that God is ever in our presence. If not, we begin to digress back to that former life before we came to know Christ. So, seven things I want to talk to you about, and hopefully we can get through them. I don't know. They didn't give me a time limit. So if we go over the time limit, it's on them. Talk with the leaders, okay? So first, we want to think first of the presence of Christ lost. And we see the presence of Christ lost in this particular passage. Second, the presence of Jesus dreaded. Sometimes as Christians, when we're out there living the life of sin, or when we wandered off, we are dreading coming back to Christ. Third, the presence of Christ revealed. We see Christ revealed in this particular passage. Fourth, the presence of Christ lost. We see the lost of Christ also in this passage. The presence of Christ trusted. And sixth, the presence of Christ forgotten. And seven, the presence of Christ restored. So we see, or I saw, all these things in this particular passage. And I got to tell you, when Andrew approached me and that a fear that I hadn't felt in a long time went through my body, and I didn't immediately respond to him and say yes. He said, "Well, just let me know by the end of the service." And so by the end of the service, I'm thinking about, okay, what would I speak about? And then this came to mind, the presence of Christ. And I know it's from the Holy Spirit. It's not from me. I'm not smart enough. But God is always good. He's always on time if we allow him to be. If we are focused enough on Jesus, we can see his presence and we can feel the working of the Holy Spirit within us. This was the message that I received. So this is the message being delivered to you. So think first of the presence of Christ lost. As children of God, we are in darkness. We are worried with sin. The clouds of life is over us. The waves are tossing. We have forgotten the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for days and days, we work, worry, and labor in the storms of life. But it is all vain, for we have forgotten the presence of Christ. And we notice in this particular passage, the apostles or disciples was out in a rough, stormy waters, the waves was tossing, the boat was being shaken. And I've done that before. I went deep sea fishing before, and this was my first time. And we left about 3 a.m. And so I'm on the back of the boat, focused on land, because I didn't want to lose where the land was at in case it happened. I won't know where I need to swim. But anyway, And it got a little rough out there, and waves was, and the boat was rocking, and people was getting sick, and I'm like, man, we need to turn this thing around. So can you imagine the apostles in the older boat than what I was in, out there in the waves, and Jesus was nowhere to be found? Can you imagine what was going through their mind? Now, they'd been through this once before in Matthew chapter 8. The disciples was in the boat. Jesus was in the bottom sleeping. And the same thing was occurring. And they went and woke him up. And he said, peace, be still. And all was calm. They had lost the presence of Christ. Now, when Christ was coming towards them, the only thing they saw was a silhouette of a figure in the midst of the waters of life. And they were afraid. They were longing for Christ, but they were afraid. They didn't recognize him. The presence of Christ, of Jesus, dreaded. They did not recognize him, and they cried out for fear. We do that sometimes when the troubles of life come upon us and things are difficult, whether we lost a job or a spouse, or we're having marriage issues. And our mind is focused on our circumstance at that time instead of being focused on Jesus and in prayer about the situation. We've forgotten about the power of God. Jesus has full authority. The same power that created this world, the same power that, the same words that spoke creation into existence. We have access to that through prayer. Christ came in a fashion that they didn't expect. And this is so true. He always comes in a fashion that we don't expect. When we pray to God, when things are going on, and we wonder why he didn't answer that prayer, and we're so focused on why he didn't answer that prayer, we don't see the alternative that he had for us. We only see that after it's all over and done. And I'll use my daughter as an example. Tatiana, when she was born, she wasn't breathing at that time, so they had to resuscitate her. And I was getting really antsy and excited. And they kept telling me, you know, stand over there, and I kept moving over there. They said, stand over there, and I kept moving over there. And we just went around back and forth. And now, 18 years later, after they told us she wouldn't survive, 18 years later, Tati is the joy of my life. She has a spirit about her. Whenever she walks into a room, her presence is known. And y'all know that. I don't have to tell you that. Her presence is known. And she is really boisterous. And she's really excited. And I love that about her. But the presence of Christ has always been there. We just got to look. The presence of Jesus compromises our status quo. Sometimes Christian walk is tough. Sometimes the Bible tells us about things that we should not do and things that we should do. And sometimes they are contrary to the status quo of our lives. And so we go the opposite way. We go the opposite way. We dread the presence of Christ because we don't want the word of God, we don't want Christ telling us what we should and shouldn't do. But we can't have it both ways, people. We can't have it both ways. The presence of Christ revealed. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So those comforting words that Jesus had spoke while they were out there in the water, they were afraid of this silhouette, and these comforting and revealing words that Jesus spoke to them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And so that fear had left them because their master that they had been journeying with, their master that had just fed the 5,000, was on the boat now. It was him. He was here to rescue us once again. And so the presence of Christ was revealed at that moment. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear me, hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Christ is ready to receive you. He's ready to grow with you. He's ready to be in your presence every day, every hour, every second. The choice is yours. Now, he's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to make you do it because it wouldn't be genuine. But the opportunity is always there. He's always ready for you. Even through your trials and tribulation, Christ is ready for you. All you have to do is pray to the Father. Tell him what's going on. He already knows, but he loves to hear from you. Pray to the Father and ask him. Christ is revealed in that very moment. The silhouette, the scary ghost that was coming, is no longer a silhouette, is no longer a ghost, but it is the Master. It is Jesus Christ. And he told them, be of good cheer. No need to worry anymore. I'm here. The presence of Jesus Christ lost. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the boisterous wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I don't know about you, but I probably wouldn't have got out of the boat anyway. The only place I swim in is in the swimming pool. Now, I wouldn't be swimming out in the sea. But anyway, we see that Peter wanted to come out of the boat. Would you not like to have the presence of Christ in this way? Christ told them to come on out. They defied all laws of nature. Peter came out and walked on water. Now, from reading this, I gathered that if you read on further, where after Peter began to sink and Christ grabbed him, and then they walked back to the boat, and once they got in the boat, the waters had got calm. So I want to denote to you, at that point when Peter took his eyes off of Christ and the presence of Christ was lost, and Christ lifted Peter up, I want you to know that the winds and the waves were still going on at that time. They were still going on. So my question is, what changed from the time that Peter walked out to Christ and Christ grabbed him and they both walked back to the boat with the same winds, the same storm? Everything was the same except for Jesus Christ was there. Now, did they walk back hand in hand or did Jesus allow him to walk back with him? But the storm was still there. Peter was no longer afraid because his eyes was on Jesus. His eyes was on the presence of the Lord. He had found what he had lost in that instant. And that's what we have to do. Our eyes must be affixed on Jesus at all time. Our minds are like computers. They absorb everything. Even in a blink of an eye, if you look at something, if you're driving down the road and you see something, that memory is etched in your mind. And the place I grew up was really tumultuous. A lot of death, drugs, and things like that. And those images are still etched in my mind. After all these years, they're etched in my mind. So that tells you right then and there how absorbent the mind is. And for that instant, Peter had lost the presence of Jesus and began to sink. And when he got back into the presence of Jesus, when Jesus lifted him up and they walked back to the boat together, he had found what he had lost. And I think it's important as Christians that we stay in the presence of God at all time. This world is not going to change. It's getting worse by the day. We just had a couple of shootings, yesterday? And people are just running rampant. And we're beginning to have a lot of anarchy. So we need desperately, at this point in time in our life to stay in the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ trusted. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, amidst all the storms and the waves, the tribulations and everything of life, Peter trusted Christ enough to get out of the boat and get on the water. And I asked myself, where were the other disciples? I'm sure they were afraid too. But Peter is always the outspoken one. He's the one always jumping in a hurry and jumping the gun. But he trusted Christ. He trusted the presence of Christ. Early on, he didn't realize who Christ was. He dreaded to come. He thought it was a ghost. But now he trusted Christ to the point where he came out of the boat and walked on water. And I don't know about you, but that supernatural power right there, me being able to walk on water, man, awesome. Awesome experience. But we have access to that same supernatural power in Christ Jesus. Christ is molding and shaping us. And what Christ knows, the Father knows. What the Father knows, the Holy Spirit. It's part of the triune God. They're all one. All authority is given to Jesus. But the presence of Christ, we have to trust that he knows what's best for us and that he is guiding us, that he is shaping and molding us, and that we are in his presence all the time. The presence of Christ forgotten. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." At that moment, Peter had forgotten the presence of Christ. I know we do that sometimes, because I do. When Andrew asked me to speak, the presence of Christ, and I have to be honest, what wasn't in my mind. And I was like, I was really nervous. And after I talked to a few brothers, and anytime I go through things, I'm always soliciting prayers. So the first thing I did, I went and solicited a brother to pray for me. I said, "Man, pray for me." And then another, and then another, and then another. And then this morning, it continued. Brother Trent, Brother Wayne, I'm always soliciting prayers. I need every prayer I can get. No matter what I'm doing for the Lord, I want to be prayed over, because I want the Holy Spirit to work through me whenever I'm presenting something for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit works through us when we allow him. Don't quench the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Christ was forgotten at that very moment. But his presence was there, but Peter just, for some reason, "God, I don't think you can control this weather. I'm sinking. What's going on?" Presence of Christ forgotten. The presence of Jesus restored. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and saying unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubtest?" So this right here, this is being drilled into you. This book and chapter, Matthew chapter 14, is being drilled into you today. You probably heard this verse read so many times. This ought to be in your memory right now. The presence of Christ was restored at that very moment. And you know why? It's because Peter allowed Christ to reach out and grab him. See, Christ wants to reach out and grab us. He knows we're struggling. He knows we're going through a lot of things. And we're going to go through. If you're not going through trials right now, you're going to start at some point in time. We all go through tribulations. When I lost my mother, it's been a year already, and it went by so fast, it's been a year. But prior to that, in caring for her for those many years, I think it was like 15 years maybe. And then with Tatiana. But I wouldn't change it for the world. I had to spend all that time Now, I'm from a family of 11. I don't know if y'all know that. 11 kids, and yes, I am the baby. Well, I'm not the baby anymore, so I'm bigger than they are. But anyway, not by height, but anyway. But anyway, I was able to spend 15 years with my mom, just me and her. That's a rarity in my house. 11 kids, you know how rare that is? Man, that's an honor and a privilege. But the presence of Jesus restored. Now, we can restore Jesus' presence. All we got to do is come to the Father. Jesus is standing ready. He's waiting. And notice how Jesus didn't come to Peter. Peter came down out of the boat to Jesus. We've got to come down out of the boat to Jesus if we want the presence of Christ in our life daily. God has a plan for you. We all have gifts. He has a plan for you. In closing, the things we do before the things we have to do. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but the skill or wisdom will bring success. Abraham Lincoln, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Solomon was really wise. The things we do before the things we have to do. If we are working right now on our Christian walk with Christ, if we are building and instilling the Word of God right now on a daily basis while the sun is shining, if we are in the presence of Christ while the sun is shining and we're getting edified by His Word, when those trials and tribulations come, when those difficulties come in your life, when you are put in the hot water like a tea bag, the aroma of your Christian life will shine through. And people will wonder, man, how are they so joyous going through these difficulties? How are they getting through this? It's because the things we do or the things you have done before the things we have to do. It's very important. The things we do before trials and tribulations come is going to determine how well we fare in difficult situations. The presence of Christ is a daily must. It's not I'm here on Sundays and then I'm out of the presence of Christ. No, the presence of Christ is with you daily. It doesn't have to be in this auditorium. Because the power of God supersedes space and time. Did you know that? Supersedes space and time. So wherever you at in life, the presence of God must be with you. At work, at school, at play, wherever you at, the presence of God must be exemplified in your life. Let your light so shine before men. In every aspect of life, if our light is shining bright for Christ, not only through good times, but also through bad times, then we're going to make a mark on those who see us. And they're going to want to know, who is this Christ that they're serving? And they want to be a part of that. Well, that's the lesson. It didn't take too much of your time. You've got some time left to mingle. But the lesson is yours. But I implore you to stay in the presence of Christ at all times. Daily. The mind wanders, and if it wanders too long, it's more difficult to come back. I ain't gonna use my own house. My wife might get on me about that when she gets back, if she listens to this, but I'll use my workspace at work. At my workspace, if I don't clean up daily, and you know this too, this applies to you. If I don't clean up daily, and stuff just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up, how long is it And how much time will I use trying to get that place cleaned back up? I'm gonna lose a lot of time trying to clean it back up. I walk with Christ. If we're not walking with Christ daily, and we keep getting pushed further and further and further and further and further away, how difficult is it for us to come back to Christ? Now, I've had people say to me, well, I'm not seeking Christ right now. And I've had people say to me, well, my circumstances won't allow me to come to church. And they were Christians at one point in time. They were gung-ho about Christ, just as I was. But the distance that has collected and generated over years has altered their train of thinking to the point where they think Christianity is based on their circumstances. But it's not. It's all about the things we do before the things we have to do. When you have to go through those trials and tribulations, it'd be better for you if you had a good working relationship with Christ. That's our lesson. If you have something on your heart, our shepherds are going to come forward. And if you have need of a prayer, they'll be down front for you. And they would be glad to pray for you. But if you don't know Christ and you want to get to know Christ, they will help you. And we have water. I think it's warm. Is it warm? It's probably warm because it's kind of cool outside. But we have water, and the water is ready. And we can baptize you. Acts 2:38. Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6 is talking to Christians. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It said, God forbid. How can we that have died to sin live any longer in it? Or don't you know when you were baptized, you was baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? Just as the Father rose, we too rise to walk in newness of life. You shared in that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The opportunity today is yours. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Life is like a vapor, here for a little while and then gone. So I want to ask that the shepherds go ahead and be making their way forward.